Well, let's get going right out of the box here this afternoon as we get on board that G&M Family Market phone line. And welcome back to the show, Red Sox historian, longtime sports writer, Gordon Eads. Hi, Gordon. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Too bad you got nothing to talk about today in sports. My goodness.
One of those.
I mean, Edelman and Colangelo and the LeBron rumors. And meanwhile, all we do is win. So we'll take it.
Well, yeah, and a little interesting history made last night at Fenway Park. Perhaps the first cell phone delay in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah, you know what? I can't say that I've researched it extensively, Rich, but in my memory, I can't recall a game being held up. It kind of looked like a rock concert there at Fenway a little bit when everybody was holding up their cell phones and flashing their lights. I certainly can empathize with Ron Gardner and said, hey, look, you know, that's hardly an appropriate background for my hitters to try to spot a white ball coming out of all those white lights. But let's hope it doesn't become a trend, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll talk about this year's team in a moment, but I want to touch on the recent induction of three new members of the Hall of Fame class, and what a terrific group went in with Kevin Youkilis, Derek Lowe, and Michael Ohl.
Yeah, I got to think that Red Sox fans thought that had to be pretty much in line with our selections. I mean, all three of those guys are immensely deserving of. I'll never forget, Rich, sitting in the dugout with Derek Lowe on the off day prior to the start of the postseason, and Derek convinced that he was the 11th man on an 11-man pitching staff that Terry Francona had lost complete confidence in him. In fact, when Derek was in town this week, or not this week, but prior to the Hall of Fame induction, he said that he actually thought about going home to Fort Myers, and that Jason Verrett had talked him out of it, and what happens in the postseason? Derek becomes the first and only pitcher in Major League Baseball history to win the clinching game in the Division Series, the LCS, and the World Series, and of course, Youkilis was a rookie on that 04 team, played a huge role in the 7 championship season where he was teammates with Mikey Lowell, who was the World Series MVP that year, and both of those guys gave the Red Sox exceptional corner defense, as well as being integral parts of our offense over those years. So, yeah, it was a great class.
Well, it's been a great start to the season for this team, as you said, just finding a way to win every night, but it's been especially exciting to watch the way this offense has produced after struggling to hit the long ball last year. These guys, they remind me so much of the 77 Red Sox team.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very apt comparison, Rich. And of course, what's really striking to me is that, we came back and won those the last two games in Houston after dropping the first two to the Astros and come home now and won the first couple of games here against Detroit and playing such good ball and the offense not seeming to have skipped a beat, even though Mookie is on the disabled list. That to me is what's impressive, and it just shows you guys, when we lost David Ortiz, it wasn't just strictly a matter of losing his production. It's the effect he had, the ripple effect he had on the entire lineup. And I think that's being underscored by what we've gained with the addition of J.D. Martinez. Mm. It's not only, the tremendous numbers that he's putting up, but it's allowed for guys like Xander and Andrew Benintendi and Moreland to know that the load is they've got a big gun in the middle of the order, and that's the guy that pitchers are going to focus on. We're not going to let him beat us, and these guys are getting better opportunities to produce. They're relaxed. It's a great atmosphere. It's the old chicken and the egg debate. Are these guys happy and relaxed because the new manager, Alex Cora, is it because they're winning? It's probably a combination of both, but we're certainly happy with the job that Alex is doing. And if you hear me hesitating a little bit, fellas, I'm navigating through the crowds that have already formed on Lansdowne Street here. So I'm just inching back into my parking lot.
All right, you be careful, Gordon. Gordon Eads joining us this afternoon. And, well, we'll see a debut tonight. Always fun to see a major league debut and a guy who's had an interesting journey to the major leagues and young Jalen Beeks.
Yeah, you know, a former teammate of Andrew Benintendi at University of Arkansas. You know, Jalen is a guy who really didn't attract a lot of chatter coming up through the system. Had a good spring with us. Pitched a number of times in big league camp during spring training, and has put up phenomenal numbers with Pawtucket. The K numbers, particularly, making his big league debut today. And again, you know, in a situation where Drew Pomerantz went down, and you had Stephen Wright give us 7 scoreless in his first start in almost a year and a half, and now Beeks getting his opportunity. This team right now, it seems to be deep and well-rounded and just playing very well on both sides of the ball.
And you mentioned Stephen Wright, and it always seems in championship years there are those guys who rise to the occasion, and Wright certainly did that the other night. And this seems to be a team that's made up of guys like that. And the way that Alex Cora has used the roster so far, I think bodes well for down the stretch, because everybody feels like they're a part of this team.
Yeah, and there's been opportunities to play and you know, you see that the level of confidence that Cora had in some of our bench guys, the guys with the Nunezes and the Holtz and all, and the decision to let Hanley Ramirez go, that I think, which was the timing of it more than anything else, was probably pretty shocking for a lot of folks. But it gave Blake Swihart an opportunity to play more. Nunez, Holtz, as I mentioned. Holt's been playing some pretty good outfield in the absence of Mookie Betts. And the same thing you now see with the pitching staff. Drew Pomerantz goes down with biceps tendonitis, and that's given an opportunity for Wright, who has pitched very well out of the bullpen, and now Beeks getting the spot start to kind of give our guys a little extra rest before we head out on what's going to be the longest trip of the season next week.
Gordon, is a historian of not just the Red Sox, but the game. I know you appreciate the contributions to baseball and the connection to Red Sox history in 2 different World Series. Red Shandings, who passed away at the age of 95. I often think of him as the Cardinals version of Johnny Pesky.
And that that hits it exactly right. I mean, I think those of us who and I worked in the National League for a while covering the Dodgers and the Marlins. So my paths crossed with Red on a number of occasions, and that's absolutely how I viewed him as a guy. You know, he was a legendary coach and had an impact on a lot of great Cardinal players over the years, besides being a teammate of Stan the Man, going back that far, Stan the Man, Usual, and just being a great ambassador for baseball like Pesky was. That was a that I think of us losing Bobby Doerr at the end of last year, another class act, very much in the Red Shandies mold.
Gordon Eads, Red Sox historian, joining us. Gordon, as always, great for us to talk with you. Enjoy the game tonight, and keep that cell phone in your pocket.
All right, thank you, man.
We'll talk to you again soon. That's Gordon Eads here on Downtown, getting us rolling on this very busy Thursday afternoon.